Mountain State Baptist Church, Seekers Sunday School class? Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If so, everyone that reads their Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. If you need help with it, tell me. We'll get you one of these schedules. And now our special.
Before salvation in a far and distant land, two rusty nails pierced two precious hands. There a man named Jesus for silver was sold on an old rugged cross. Love's story was told. Oh, oh, what a story. I love you was written. It is finished, and the world heard the sound, marking the beginning as his blood touched the ground, a master plan for living on Mount Calvary, engraved such expressions of love is salvation.
Thank everyone for praying for my mom. She got out of the hospital yesterday about supper time. And it's hard for me to believe that tomorrow is July. We're halfway through, half gone. Where did it go? It just started last week. And I really like the display out there in the hall. Whoever did that, the freedom display, the flag. Those colors, red, white, and blue, always remind us of freedom. Unless you see them in the rearview mirror. Brother Mike Boley, would you pray for us, please? Thank you. Now, yes, sir. Revelation, remind me, what verse gives us the outline for the whole book? Chapter 1, what verse? 7? How about 18? Starts off, 19. It says, write the things which thou hast seen. What chapter goes with that? Number 1 is right, chapter 1. And what time period is that? In the past. And now, then it says, in the things which are, what time period is that? Present. And what chapters go with the present? 2 and 3. We're backing up here. I can see we're straining here. And then it says, in the things which shall be hereafter, what time period? That's the future. Where does that start? What chapters? 4 on. And that's where we're at. We're on 4 on. And we were on chapter 12 last week. We didn't quite get finished. We've been looking at some things here. Chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, is the devil and the woman. Now, hopefully here in a little bit we'll get to 13. That's the devil and the world. Yeah. Devil and the world. And we looked at several things about the woman last week, how the devil, the dragon, hates her. The first 5 verses were hatred of the woman in the past. And we went down through there. We were looking at the hatred of the woman in the future, the rest of the chapter. I was particularly fond of verse 11. I'd like to read that again. It says, and they overcame him. That's our brother in there. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And we talked, read a lot of verses about those overcomers, about the blood of the Lamb, about the grace. I know how I got in. It's by grace. It's by this blood. It's grace that God came so he could have blood, so he could shed his blood, so we could get in. It's all grace. And I know that's how I got in. I know that. And this reinforces it right here in verse 11. And then we looked how the dragon hated the woman. She tried to make slaves out of the woman. And if you remember, the woman's Israel. The woman's Israel. And the dragon tried to drown Israel, tried to starve her, tried to curse her, tried to hang her, tried to burn her, tried to devour her, threw Israel to the lions to be eaten up there in Daniel. And that's review. Now we're on verse 14. Dear Lord, please help us again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 14, it says, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. Now, as near as I can tell, that has nothing to do with America or England or anyone that has an eagle on their flag. This is just deliverance. She gets delivered. We just saw, I just read a list of how she's been delivered and delivered and delivered and delivered. And the Lord's going to keep doing that. Unto her place. Now, there's a lot of speculation about the place. But I think more than a certain place, it's the grace like we was just now talking about. Because it's been down through centuries that the Lord's been taking care of her. But anyway, if you want to pick a place, go ahead. Where she is nourished for a time, here we go again, a time, a year, times, 2 years and half a time, half a year, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And the Lord is forever taking care of her. Of her, but that's not all. He's forever protecting me from myself. I'm my own worst enemy. Zechariah, he's got his own description here about the tribulation. Let's look at that in Zechariah 13, starting verse 8. It says, and it came to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, 2 parts therein shall be cut off and die, and a third shall be left. We're going to be looking at the remnant. We'll run into that name later. And yes, there's been a lot of persecution. Yes, a lot have died. Verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined. And we'll try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name. And I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, chapter 14, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Remember, he's flailing the sin out of Christ rejectors. And a big part of the tribulation is for Israel. Remember that. Then verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of the battle. And he's going to use those nations to whip Israel. Then he's going to come in and deliver Israel. Verse 4, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Then Isaiah, he's got his own description in chapter 63. All this tying together with Revelation. Isaiah 63, starting in verse 1. Who is he that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. You want to guess who that is? It will be the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone. The Lord's doing it alone. He doesn't need any help. He doesn't need me. He's doing it alone. And of the people, there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For in the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drink in my fury, make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. The woman Israel during this time period, she'll be hated, she'll be hidden, she'll be hunted, and she'll be helped. The Lord's going to help her. And again, it's not so much a place as it is the grace down through the ages. He's going to provide a place for her, and he knows. He knows where it is. I don't know. Back to Revelation 12, 15 and 16. Here's part of that. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now, it's probably real water. I don't know that. But back in 13, you got the word persecuted. To me, when I read this, I just see a flood of persecution that's happened down through the ages. But it's probably real water, too. That he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. Here she is being helped, hidden, and helped. The earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. This might be similar to the cities of refuge in the Old Testament in Numbers 35. Let's take a glimpse at that. Numbers 35. Starting in verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, and saying to them, when ye come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall anoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither which killeth any person at unawares, by accident. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not, till he stand before the congregation in judgment. And then verse 25 sums it up. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest. Now, during the tribulation period, or our high priest, he'll never die. We have refuge forever in him. And that's the way it's going to be with Israel, which was anointed with the holy oil. No victorious life outside of the blood, like we read about last week. And in Ezekiel 38, where God uses Russia to come down and spank little Israel, and then he comes in and whips Russia. That's kind of the picture of the way it's going to be. And then back to Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant. Here's that remnant. That part of us, there's always a remnant. You might think you're alone, but you're not alone. There's a remnant. Ezekiel thought he was alone. He wasn't alone. There was a remnant. He went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God. That's how you know them. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You got the dragon mentioned in Revelation 13 times. He hates the woman and he hates the world. He's coming after the world here in chapter 13. Heaven's rejoicing, but it's woe on earth. The 144,000 is getting their work done. Now let's look at chapter 13. Here's the devil and the woman. We're going to see the Antichrist. And by the way, anti means against. That's easy. Or instead of. There's going to be an Antichrist instead of the real Christ. He's not only against Christ. Here he's going to stand instead of Christ. Verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, this is the Antichrist here. We see his daddy back in chapter 12. We saw him in, look at verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. Do you see the family resemblance? Yeah, yeah. Now, the dragon in chapter 12, what we got here is a false, fake trinity that's imitating the real one and doing a poor job of it. In verse 3 in chapter 12, the dragon wants to imitate God the Father. In chapter 13, verse 1, the Antichrist, he wants to imitate the Son. And then down in chapter 13, down in verse 11, you see another beast here. This is going to be the false prophet. He's going to imitate the Holy Spirit and be in charge of worship. We need the Spirit to worship. You see his picture in 13:11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, this deception here, the lamb, is a big picture of deception because no one's scared of a lamb. But he talks like a dragon. It's all a big deception and a cheap imitation of the real thing in the stead of the real God. Right. Now, this Antichrist we read there in chapter 13, verse 1, he's Satan's Messiah, again, imitating the real Messiah. He's the father of lies. He's got the family likeness going on. He's a beast. He's called a beast. But he's not just a beast. He's a wild beast. It's bad enough if it's a beast. But you get a hold of a wild beast, you'll be trying to let go of it. Get a hold of a wildcat, locked in a phone booth with a wildcat, you'll be trying to get rid of it. He's got beastly appetites, beastly instincts, but in a real person. The missing link that the evolutionists have been looking for.
if you will.
Let's read a little bit further here. He's got four purposes. One of them's in verse 5. Let's start in verse 2 here. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of the bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, chapter 12, verse 3, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. How about a fake, false, cheap imitation of a resurrection?
Yeah.
On the Antichrist, on the Christ that's instead of the real Christ. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon, and they gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Verse 5, now this Antichrist and the dragon, they have four purposes. Verse 5 tells the first one, it's to defy the God of heaven. Verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. There's our 3.5 years again. This is the second half of the tribulation, the great tribulation, if you will. And then his second purpose is in 6 and 7, to destroy the saints of God. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. We've said it many times, see, the devil hates you, he hates your family, he hates your kids, he hates your grandkids, he hates your grandparents, he hates you, he hates your family. The devil hates the family, he'll do anything. It doesn't have to be honest or true, he'll do anything. And then also in verse 7, one of his purposes is to dominate the nations of the earth. Right there at the end of verse 7 it says, in the nations. And then his another purpose is to delude the masses of mankind. We see that in 2 Thessalonians 2. There's going to be a big delusion. He's setting the stage now. The stage is being set. I thought about it in particular about, we're going to see here in a little bit. Well, on this resurrection and then down through here, there's going to be an idol. And I got to thinking about I've never even seen one. I've seen advertisements for a sci-fi movie. And I said, I wonder how many sci-fi movies there are. And I tried Googling that, and you know, it doesn't always give you what you want. The first thing that come up, the first little box, was the best 100 sci-fi movies. And then the next one was the best 50 and 25. Then it said the best 150 sci-fi movies. And you understand everything on TV is fiction. You understand that FI, sci-fi, that stands for fiction. That's not real. But see, everything on TV is not real. Barney Fife's not real. John Wayne's not real. The news is not real. Just a small sample I saw the other day, this one politician, he's said the other politician that everything he said was a lie. Well, I don't know that everything was. I mean, he might have ordered bacon and eggs for breakfast. He might have said one thing was true. I don't know. Anyway, everything on TV is a lie. And see, we're being adjusted so we'll believe the lie.
Yeah.
So we'll believe this delusion.
Yeah.
2 Thessalonians 2. Starting in verse 3. Let no man deceive you. Now see, if I get tricked in a horse trade, it's my fault. If I buy a horse over the phone and I get there, it gets home and it's got three legs, that's my fault.
Yeah.
It wasn't the horse trader's fault, it's my fault. And this is a direct New Testament command right here. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. Any questions on that part? For that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. Anyone notice that? Anybody miss him beside you there? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, in the stead of anti. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, and in the Bible times the word let meant hinder. Only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. That's going to be the Holy Spirit when we go up. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. God is so bright that just his presence is going to kill him when it comes time. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know why you're here today? I hope it's why you're here. It's because you love the truth. And there's some that's not here. You want me to tell you why they're not here? They don't love the truth. They didn't want to come. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is the purpose. This is part of the purpose of the delusion. Let's go back to Revelation now 13. And let's see, that was verse 7. That's going to lead us over to Daniel. We're going to look at an image. I'm sorry, let's just go to Daniel 2. Daniel 2 and in verse 31. Now, there's going to be an image here. Daniel has the king has a dream. He sees an image, and he wants Daniel to interpret it for him. And in verse 31, it says, "Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And the image's head was of fine gold." Now, the gold head represents Babylon, and Babylon was in power from 626 to 556 B.C. And verse 32 again, "And his breast and his arms of silver, and the silver chest and arms represent Persia, who was in power 539 to 331 B.C., and his arms of silver and his belly and thighs of brass." The belly and thigh of brass represents Greece. She was in power 331 to 323 B.C. And then verse 33, in Daniel again, "His legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay." These iron and clay represent Rome, who was in power from 58 B.C. to 476 A.D. Now, I'm going to let you finish the chapter at home. It'll tell about the rest of the statue, and then Daniel gives the interpretation there toward the end of the chapter. I don't want to bore you too bad. Now, this idol, though, I want you to keep in mind, toward the end of chapter 13, we're going to be hitting that number 666 that everybody likes to talk about. Even the world likes to talk about 666. And I do want you to know that this statue of in Daniel's chapter 2 was 60 cubits one way and 6 cubits the other way. And that's the number of man. We'll tell you down there at the end of the chapter. Man, God created man on day 6. Yeah. And that's man's number. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. But I want you to know that about the image while we're right there. the 10 horns or 10 nations, probably the European Union, and the seven heads of dictatorship. Now, this statue here representing even the Antichrist, he's going to be a great oratorical genius. That means he's going to talk real smooth, not like Brother Rick. It's going to come out smooth. He's going to have a great following. See that in Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most, capital H, High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Again, 3.5 years. Chapter 11, verse 36. Again, we see this smooth talker. Chapter 11, verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every little g god, and shall speak marvelous things against the big God, the real God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation, the God's wrath, the tribulation period, God's pouring out his wrath, his indignation, be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. And then this Antichrist in chapter 13, he's an intellectual genius in Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft. We're talking about a crafty critter, sly as a fox, to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. You know, like the I will. He shall also stand up against the capital P, prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Like that's where he's going to speak with the word of his mouth. Then in Revelation 17, we see this Antichrist is a political genius. They'd be on CNN.
Yeah,
Revelation 17, 11 and 12. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. This Antichrist is a commercial genius. In chapter 13, we're working our way down to it. It's verse 16 and 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. It's going to be like Monopoly. He's going to have a monopoly on everything. It's all going to, the prophet's all going to run through his fingers. You see it in Daniel 11, 43. The same thing, the economy. Daniel 11, 43. And he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. This Antichrist is going to be a military genius. We saw him in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Revelation 6, 2. And I saw him, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And we just now saw him again in 13:2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And like we said in 13 there, he's going to be a religious genius. How about a televangelist? Might be a televangelist. Revelation 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the big L Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I'd get my name in the book of life. He's not against religion. The devil, the dragon's not against religion. The Antichrist is not against religion. The false prophet's not against religion. Religion kills and dooms and damns. John 4. John 4, 22. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. You know, there's many went out this morning, similar like you went, and they don't know what they're worshiping. I was that way for 20 years. I didn't know. We might have time here to look at Judas now. Many say Judas is going to be that reincarnated, resurrected Antichrist. Let's see if there's any chance. Luke 22:3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Pretty good start right there. John 6, 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Chapter 13 in John. Verse 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Chapter 17 in John. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. 2 Thessalonians, we just read that in chapter 2. Actually, the same verses we just read. Acts 1:25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Okay, let's go back to Revelation. Maybe we can finish up that first half. Revelation 13. Now again, this deception, that lamb part there, so nobody will be afraid. Let's see. We read, I think, I'll start in verse 7. I think we read 7. Let's start in 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people, I'm in 11, I'm sorry. 13, 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And if any man, verse 9, if any man, that's a marvelous thing right here in the second half of the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, the worst part, the Great Tribulation. Guess what? Whosoever will, still going on. If any man, any questions on that? If any man? No. They can still get in. God's still showing his grace and mercy. Any man can still get in. If any man have an ear, well, all men have ears, don't they? Let him hear. Let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast. That'll be next week. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. Thank you for making sure we had a way to escape. If any man wanted out, he could get out and go be with you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.